This is Lynn Duffy. I'm the president of Timeless Tuner Graphics, and we are going to start a podcast series just to talk about cars in general. So today I have with me Joe Duffy, who also happens to be my son and the vice president of Timeless Tuner Graphics, and our good friend Matthew Oliver. Thanks for coming, guys.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, all no right. Problem.
All right.
It is my own house after all, but again, I guess at least I'll feel right at home.
Very good. So we talked about, you know, threw some ideas out about what we wanted to talk about. And one of the topics out of several, because when I talked to the guys about starting this podcast, they said, oh, yeah, we have lots of opinions about things. So I thought we could talk about why you drive the cars you do. So, Joe, what kind of car do you drive right now?
Well, I used to own a 1990 Honda Prelude. But as of right now, I drive a 1994 Chevrolet S10. It's nothing too fancy. It has the 2.2 four-cylinder with the 5-speed, non-four-wheel drive, bare-bones basic, and it actually just crossed 278,000 miles.
Excellent, excellent. And Matthew, what kind of car do you drive right now?
Well, we could talk about the oatmeal mobile, which is what I drove over here. But I probably would want to talk about my 66 Impala, which is basically a death trap.
Why do you say that?
Because everything's falling apart. But it's one of those things, it's just completely different from anything else. You know, everything is mechanical in it, so it gives it kind of its own feel. Mm-hmm. But in terms of how many miles are on it, I have no idea.
Why does the...
Well, the odometer in older cars, I guess they assumed they weren't going to last to 100,000 miles because they don't go that high. It just rolls over. I personally have put about 4,000 miles on it right now.
Okay. And how long have you had it?
3 years?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Just about 3 years.
3 years.
Okay. Yeah. A couple months. Like about a month away from 3 years.
All right. And why did you pick that car in particular?
Well, I was looking at older cars. I wanted something. I had kind of a thing in mind of what I wanted. I wanted at least 300 cubic inches, at least 300 horsepower, and something 60s, 70s, that kind of thing. And that was what I found that was actually decent, good shape. My dad thought it was safe at the time.
How wrong he was.
Yes. Because I actually bought it from a girl that drove it in high school. And that was kind of how my dad thought it was safe. He's like, oh, if somebody would let their daughter drive it to high school, it must be, you know, relatively safe. Well, she was going into the military. So I don't know if she was generally the best judge of
a normal... Oh, this will be a safe car. This will be fine.
Yeah. So, and I don't think she drove very far.
Hmm. Well, so, what did you say? That like feels like a stone's throw away from her... From her
yeah,
house
I think
to the school.
So. Well, see, we never went by the school, but I would imagine so. It would have to be.
I mean, especially considering it has drum brakes all the way around,
yeah.
And it only has
single master,
the single master cylinder,
and it had no steering when I bought it, none.
But I mean, apart from that, what else? What else has been done to it?
Steering, the brakes had to be adjusted. Well, here, core bypass because that exploded in the middle of prom. That was interesting.
That's a story in itself.
Yeah. It needed new exhaust because the old one was rubbing the tire, although I didn't realize that until I went to put on new mufflers. It has new tires.
Hmm. Also, that one radio that's kind of like buggy that like resets every time you...
Well, it resets every time because it's wired in with electrical tape instead of the right way. And so instead of... Normally, you're supposed to have a little bit of power going to your radio so that it retains the settings when you cut the car off. Well, they didn't do that, so it just resets every time.
So basically every time you start up, it says 12 o'clock.
Yeah, the time resets and all the Bluetooth resets and everything, but...
And so radio stations that you have set?
Well, the antenna's not hooked up, so
I don't get radio stations anyway.
I mean, it would do radio. It's actually a really nice radio. It's just, right now, it's not connected to the antenna. It's kind of wired wrong, but... Then the alternator was put in with one wire that was way too small, and that was probably catching fire.
Yeah, like basically, in terms of the wire that connected from his alternator to his battery, think of something that you'd use for like an iPhone charger.
Yeah, basically that was the size of it. And the thing is, it's a one-wire alternator too, so that's the wire that's supposed to hold everything. But I mean, it was a nice new alternator. That's how it kind of goes. Like, nice new alternator, really horrible wiring job. But, you know.
That and also, like, your brights don't work for whatever reason?
Well, that's relatively new. Yeah, the brights are a circus. The lights are a circus on the car, because the taillight will cut out, or it won't, which your S10 does that.
It's so weird, because, like, especially, like, yeah, it's the driver's side taillight. Sometimes it'll work.
Same.
And then sometimes it won't. But most of the time it does work, especially if you, like, put on the blinker or something like that. But sometimes the taillight will just have a bad day and just say, no, I just don't want to work right now. But then 2 miles down the road, it'll click on and it'll be fine. So I honestly have no idea.
It works 90% of the time.
Hey, GM stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like when Joe would come home after cruising around with you, Matthew, he would have a story to tell. Like, oh, it started raining, you know, two blocks from Matthew's house, or all of a sudden we were at a stop sign and it just died, or can you talk about some of those adventures?
Actually, yeah, let's talk about the day that we had to have Ben come and save us.
Oh, yes, that was in the alternator fiasco. Mm-hmm. All right.
Actually, here, let's do a little bit of a setup. So,
yes,
basically the alternator, again, only had one wire that was very bad, and because of that, we didn't realize until later that part of the wire just straight up like fried and
it was like melted.
Yeah, like it wasn't returning any power to the battery. So basically,
well, I think it had split in half at that point.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, because when I realized what had happened to it, I did the cheap, quick fix of okay, let's put some electrical tape on it so I at least have it, and you know that way I can limp it wherever I need to until I can get the right kind of wire. And of course, none of the auto parts stores around would crimp a wire big enough. Mm. And we had just fixed the carburetor because the carb I've got on it's an Edelbrock. And
it's from it's like the basic Edelbrock carburetor AutoZone.
It's essentially a Carter AFB, which was designed in like the 50s. And the idle mixture or idle speed screw is right behind the return spring. So it's really hard to find. And it took us forever to figure that out. And so we had just fixed that, so we're like, hey, let's test drive it.
Yeah. Well, that and also we were like...
Yeah, my like mom needed something like at the store.
Yeah, and also so it was like less than a quarter tank. It was like so low on gas. So we're driving it, and everything's going good. So then we go to Napa because we went earlier that day because we had...
Yeah, because we were going to fix the wire.
Yeah, but then
we got the wrong wire. It was way too big. Mm. That was my fault.
It was like something that would like... fix a battery.
Yeah, that was
bigger than that.
It was big enough that they don't normally take returns, but this wire was so big they took a return.
It was
wow.
It was probably about as like big as my thumb. It was
which
very...
is why you don't Google what wire size you need for your amperage, because when you do that it gives you way too big. Mm.
So we were kind of trying to fix that mistake. So we went to Napa and they had some kind of charity
car wash. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Although it was really cool because we tried to return the part. We showed up like 5 minutes after closing. Kind of unfortunate. But they gave us a free medium Domino's pizza. Shout out to that lady. I forgot her name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she was supposed to give us pizza, but she gave us pizza anyway. So
from the car wash.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was set up outside of the Napa.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, she just gave us like a free pizza that was like for the volunteers. So we were having a good old time. We're like, you know what?
I did give her a little money, though. I felt a little, like, I'm not going to take from, like, I think it was like the Salvation Army or something.
Yeah, something like that. But
and not give them a little something.
Yeah. But then we were like, you know what? We're feeling good. Let's go get some soft drinks. Let's go get cheer wine.
Yes, that was what it was. Yeah. That was what we were going to get.
So then we go to the Harris Teeter that's, like, not even 5 minutes from your house.
Yeah, it was really close.
So we're driving. Get over there. Turn off the car. Disconnect the battery. Everything's good. Go in there, come out.
Well, that's my anti-theft.
Yeah. I'm like, why do you want... Okay. I was going to ask why you would do that.
I shouldn't be saying this on a, you know, public podcast, but my doors don't lock.
Well, by the time this probably goes live, it'll be fixed.
There you go.
It's going to be fixed. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Also, it has a kill switch, you know. Wink, wink. So what happens is we go in there and we get our like 4-pack of glass bottled cheer wine because, again, the plastic ones, not bad, but if you really want to go for that authentic taste.
Glass is superior.
Mm.
Highly superior.
So we go out, try and start the car. Nothing. Not even a click. So thankfully, this guy was just driving by and he was like, do y'all need a jump? And he was like in like a Silverado 1500,
yeah,
some kind of like pickup truck.
Big truck.
But he helped us jump it off and we were on our way. And then not even 2 minutes from your house, come to a
crest of this hill.
Yep. And it was like a T. And
yeah. It's almost like, in terms of a spot for your car to die, it was actually a fairly convenient spot because it wasn't
a main road. It was
It's a semi main road. Not too much traffic. But
didn't
the big
even
thing
have a light.
Is
it was just a stop sign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but the big thing is just it was at the peak of a hill. So everyone could see you.
Hmm.
And we go to the turn lane and I was going a little fast maybe. Wasn't like horrible.
Well, it's not like you locked him up or anything. You're just
no, I didn't lock him up, but I hit the brakes, and because Edelbrocks just love to die at, you know, the first inclination of hard cornering or braking, cuts out, and we don't have any electricity.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah,
so,
I mean, we just got a jump from that guy,
yeah.
So we're assuming we're
and of
battery
course,
dead or...
My, mm-hmm. I think I had the jump pack with me, but it wasn't charged.
Well, how convenient.
Yes. And so,
thankfully,
Ben was coming over anyway.
Yeah, thankfully our good friend Ben, he actually used to own a 99 Corolla.
Ah, yes.
Which meant an unfortunate end.
We still have to have a eulogy for that thing.
It had rod knock and he sold it to LKQ. Only lost $5. He bought it for $300, sold it to LKQ for $295. Still ran.
And how long did he drive it?
For a few months. I mean, that's good for... And
yeah,
also,
for $300, dude.
The AC worked.
Yeah, the AC worked.
My AC doesn't
roll
even
up
work.
Windows.
Wow.
I'm sure he got decent mileage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a good little car.
The thing was so light, like with the accordion jack, I could twist the handle with my finger and raise the car up.
It was a good little car. It really was. But thankfully, he came to a rescue. He helped jump it off. Drove to Matthew's house the rest of the way. And, thing is, by the time, it's funny because since we were at the intersection, I think he had like at least 3 or 4 people asked, like, oh, do you need help
or
whatever? We're like,
oh,
we got someone on the way, we're
yeah.
fine. Because, I mean, if we already have someone on the way, I don't want to
chilling.
Yeah,
someone. Yeah.
But,
oh, we were just sitting there chilling, drinking cheer wine, hoping someone didn't fly around the corner and cream us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a day in the life.
Yeah. It was a nice sunset, though. That was nice.
It could be worse. It could have been raining.
Yeah, and we later discovered that the reason why it was dying so easily is because, like I said, the wire was split in half. Because we thought it still had, you know, a connection.
Right.
No. That was straight battery we were running it off of. And I think we just bought a new battery, too. That was after.
No.
Was
sure?
it?
I think it was
before. I don't remember
that.
If it was before or after.
Nah, that was before.
It was before?
That was before.
Yeah, it must have been.
Because you thought, oh, the battery's bad. So then you went to go to get it tested, and you're like, oh, no, it's
fine. No, I didn't go get it tested.
You didn't get it tested?
I think this is after we bought the new battery, because...
That was after, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember it, because it died. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I was concerned about, oh, crap, I just bought a new battery, and it's already dead. And finally got a battery tender at Walmart. This is the second battery tender I bought, because I had another one, and, you know, my parents aren't car people. My garage, not the most organized place in the world. So my battery tender suddenly grew legs and walked away. I had to get another one. Then, of course, after I buy that one, I find the one I bought previously. But the nice thing is, because for whatever reason, the way they do the pricing on them, the two battery tenders of the cheaper model that I have add up to more amperage than the next model up that's more expensive. So I win.
But
I think.
Thankfully, your uncle came over and helped you with the electrical, which it now looks way...
Yeah, easier. It actually, believe it or not, looks worse. But the thing is, because on my positive terminal now, we couldn't get a wire that was big enough to actually go to the alternator. So what I ended up doing is we got two smaller ones and put crimp ends on them. And so I've got those two wires. Chevy likes to put this wire that basically powers your entire dashboard and everything. So there's that wire, there's those two, and then there's the regular terminal all going to positive. And because when we were looking at the wiring, we were trying to figure out, like, what is this spare positive thing? And Tommy was looking at it, and we're like, you know, that, I think that's just the wire to the old alternator. So we cut it. It was the Chevy wire. At least that's what he calls it. And so we ended up using black for that wire. So I've got black on positive, and then one of my negative body grounds was a little eh, so we replaced that. We replaced that with, because that's just what we had, red wire, because of the weird order we did this. So now I've got, you know, red and black on positive, red
on negative. So basically you kind of flip-flop the colors.
Yeah, so I mean, it looks really bad, but even actually it doesn't look that bad. But it's got, you know, some lume on it, which is nice.
Well, that and also you got that
quick disconnect. I got a quick disconnect.
Yeah.
I got the terminal for the positive side, I got zinc so it won't corrode as easily. And I put corrosion inhibitor on the terminals because my old ones were just, they were old.
So thankfully, I mean, that's most of your electrical problems apart from the headlights and some of the taillight stuff. But at least it won't die on you in traffic.
Yeah. Priority-wise, I think that's a little above working headlights. Taillights, yeah, I kind of need taillights. But headlights, eh.
So it sounds like you've had lots of experience and turmoil and all kinds of things that happened with your car. And sounds like you have lots and lots of stories about what you've had to do to your car.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you a little bit too, Joe.
Yeah, no, I know. I was thinking about the same thing.
Oh, We'll have lots of opportunities with these podcasts to talk about your experiences with cars. Let's talk about why you chose the Prelude first and then why you chose the truck.
So the Prelude, I chose the Prelude because it was summer for my senior year in high school and I wanted my own car. We used to own a, I think it was a 96 Tahoe, 5.7, just basic truck. Had the barn doors, white with a dark blue interior. It was a good truck. I mean, it did us well for so many years. But my brother just recently got a 2002 Audi A4 1.8 turbo. And that was a nice little car. It would skirt, you know, it would scoot, it would go. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit jealous. And I'm like, you know what? I want my own car. So I was looking around Craigslist and I was like, I need something manual. I can't have automatic. I want manual.
Why?
I just wanted
to do something different that your brother did. Is that it, Joe?
Manuals are, but I wish I had a manual.
Well, it's just,
manuals are expensive.
I know. It's the whole thing of like, just feeling that connection to the car. Well, that my thing is, especially because we used to have a 92 Celica, which had around a similar engine, but except it was a 4-speed automatic. It was a dog. It wasn't that fast. It was kind of fun, but I just feel like if you have something with like that little horsepower, you really want to have a manual so you can really get the most out of it. So that's why I'll search for something manual, preferably a Honda.
I mean, wind it out as high as you can with the RPMs, and then shift.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
if
thankfully,
you're not doing that, you're doing it wrong, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that's what they're for. But I was looking around, and I found, God, it had such horrible photos. They're all taken at night, and they're in the rain. It just said 1991 Prelude, $750. And it had, like, the bare basics of, like, descriptions, it was like manual, like works, like just, you know, no AC. And so I go to look at this thing, and the ignition switch is bad, the trunk, or the spoiler, whoever owned it previously kept on lifting it and closing the trunk with the spoiler, so it now rusted all around it and started leaking water into the trunk. So that was a fun adventure. But it ran.
Didn't they keep it like in a field or something?
Yeah, I remember when I took off the front bumper for the first time to do some work, I found like 2 hornet's nests. And yeah, that's when I realized this thing's been sitting for a while. But
people, while they're trying to get a hedge business started. Yay.
Sorry about that little interruption. All right, Joseph, as you were saying.
So I went to go look at it. Really wasn't that impressed. The interior was kind of nice. There were definitely some issues with it, but the price was cheap enough where I kind of set my, you know, goal, my budget of around $1,500 to get up and running and everything. Looking around at a few other things, ironically, I actually saw, I was looking at actually another S10, but settled on the Prelude, got it for $460 because the guy had a 300ZX that he was trying to swap the automatic out for a manual because he owned one previously but then got wrecked. So I drove the Prelude around, had some issues with the heating system or with the radiator, so I got another one, got a fan, a lot of things with it. And again, it fought me along the way, but I even had to put a new transmission in it not that long ago. And sadly, January of this year, I was driving it. I actually wasn't even driving it to school. I was just driving it around, hanging out with one of my friends before one of my classes. And sadly, it fell up rod knock. But because I'm a commuter student, I realized I still needed a car. So I started looking around, and I found it in Liberty, North Carolina. And so I saw
your little truck.
Yep. Little 94 S10. It had about 275 when I got it. And
it was broken.
Yeah. And it had, again, a little 5-speed. It had some really cool little like 90s rims on it. Cool little truck. Problem is, like, the roll pan was just, it looked like a 5-year-old attacked it with scissors. And it had a Reese hitch on it. You know, it's never a good sign, but I think it was a farm truck because there's so many things that are kind of eh with it, but runs, drives, it's a good little truck. It's the slowest thing ever. Like,
yeah, do you want to maybe talk about the time we were at that stoplight?
Yes. We were driving around, and I remember it was a stoplight, actually not that far from your house.
Yeah.
So what happens is we were driving. And again, I'm at the light, and I'm like, you know what? I think I can beat this woman in this Honda Accord. And it's like a stock, like, probably a 2018 Honda Accord. It's a nicer car.
And she's texting.
Yeah, too. She's texting this whole time. So, like, I'm in this car. I'm like, all right, get a good launch. First gear, second gear. Like, I'm getting on.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I can see him, like, leaning just about his whole body into these shifts. I mean, he's shifting this thing hard.
Like, I'm shifting it like I need to make my last flight to L.A. Like, I'm shifting it. So, you know, third gear at 25, I'm like, all right, I'm going. And she just, travels right on by, still texting.
Still texting, like, leans back in the seat, no. Like, with this, like, kind of just really bored-looking expression on her face. Thing is, I'd like to point out, my car isn't even remotely fast either. It looks fat. No.
Well, that thing is that, again, even grabbing fourth, I'm like, oh no, she got me. But my thing is, it could be anything can
thing,
really
but
out.
It sounds amazing though.
Yeah.
It has this kind amazing. Of really tractory sound to it.
Because when I got it, it had one of the ignition coils was bad and loose. So what happened was it would backfire whenever it would go more than half throttle, especially on an incline. But I love it all the same, and I know that as long as I keep the basic maintenance with it, that thing will run forever. But I think the main reason why I like that thing is just because it's just different, kind of fun, it's just really cheap to run.
And it has a lot of character.
A lot of character.
It does. Well, thank you, Joseph, Matthew, for our first podcast for Timeless Tuner Graphics, and we hope that you join us again. Thanks.
Yeah, I thought it went well.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, I tried to get it even, you know, as far
as
talking.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to, like,
I can be long-winded. There's a lot of shit that's happened to your car.
Yeah, we've had a lot of stuff happen in mine.